Welcome to Closer to Venus. I'm Johnny Burke, and today's guest is Vasundhara Gupta. She is a spiritual writer, certified life coach, and past life regression facilitator. Her work involves exploring past life regression stories in order to help demystify hypnotherapy. And in this episode, we'll discuss what to expect from hypnosis, as well as how past life regression can help heal karmic debts. Vasundhara, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Johnny. What a pleasure to be here.
Excellent. We appreciate that. So how did you get involved with past lives and then past life regression?
So I read Dr. Brian's book, Many Lives, Many Masters, and I had heard about it. I was on a flight. I could not put the book down. By the end of it, I knew there was so much from my own past lives that I wanted to uncover. I found a healer, did 5 past lives in 1 regression session. I got into this whole journey of exploring, what is hypnosis? How do I do it on myself? Because I want to know all the things about my past life and heal all the things. So it started with me and then my own exploration from there.
Okay, so when you read the book, which is a classic, as many people are aware of, you had a knowing that you had past lives, or were you not really quite sure?
I do come from a background where we just believe that we have past lives. The religious and spiritual background, I am Hindu, and we have the concept of reincarnation spoken very early on. So for me, that was just a knowing that there is stuff there that I want to uncover.
Your culture and background are about 5,000 years ahead of everyone else, so we can definitely appreciate that. You are also a spiritual writer. How did you arrive at that description?
I started my journey anonymously on Instagram, and I would share all this heavy, purging, painful experiences that I was going through in hopes that someone else who's out there would relate and understand they're not alone. I didn't really have an objective at the time, but it was along the lines of talking about twin flames and why am I seeing synchronicities and what does the universe want from me and why am I dark night of the soul and all the things. As I kept writing, I recognized that other platforms that are more popular or that have been around longer than me are calling all of this spiritual. So I very quickly just addressed that as spiritual writing. I never really thought much about it after that.
Were there any instances of automatic writing or anything even close to that, or not really?
100%. There have been so many times, even in fact, in the book I'm currently writing about spirituality and the spiritual awakening, I've had moments where something so profound comes out, I don't even think I'm ready for it. And it just feels like this is more for me than for the reader.
Have you ever had an instance where you were writing and you fell asleep and you woke up and did not recognize what you wrote?
That's a good one. Very early on, I used to keep a diary next to my bed because I was really connected with my spirit guides, and I would get all these dreams and messages, and I was wrapped up into the world of angel numbers. So I was trying to decode every little message that was coming my way. I remember very explicitly having random things written in my diary the next morning and being like, what is this? What have I written? What does this mean? I haven't tracked that diary for years, but yes, that does seem familiar.
Angel numbers, spirit guides, scribe for spirit. I had at least one guest that described herself as that, who had instances of that type of writing where she not only didn't recognize it, she didn't even remember writing it. So that's really, really interesting. When you were younger, did you have any kind of like mystical experiences, contact with the unseen world, seeing or feeling spirits or anything of that nature?
What's interesting is that I never remember having like an imaginary friend or something. But especially during childhood, I had this sense that something was watching me and that I always had to correct my behavior because something was watching. And that sense of integrity came very, very early on. That feeling doesn't exist at the moment, but I feel like I've internalized the integrity that it was inviting me to carry.
So you've done past life regressions yourself. I know you did one where you discovered or uncovered 5 past lives. Have you done it more since then, or was that the only time?
Tons. I've done so much past life regression through other healers. I know how to do past life regression on myself. I even see past lives during my dreams sometimes.
What are some of the past lives that you saw or experienced that really kind of stand out?
My favorite past life story is When I was in Delhi, I've moved to Canada now, but when I was still in Delhi, I went to the Gurudwara. This is one of the religious temples from Sikhism. There was a woman there who was on a wheelchair, and someone had pretty much just parked her there. She was well-dressed. She seemed from like a really well-off family, but someone just kind of dropped her there and left. She had food in her little knapsack. And she called me and she said, "Can you feed me?" And I was having all these experiences inside where it's like, who are you? Why are you alone? Why am I feeding you? Like, why have you picked me to feed you? I remember in that moment feeling so tender and vulnerable with her, seeing her in that state, reaching out to a stranger to feed her, crying as I'm feeding her. It was just such a pure experience for me. A couple of weeks later, I see a dream, a very vivid dream, where this woman took me in because I was getting kidnapped. She took me into her house and she took care of me. She protected me for multiple days. And when the kidnappers came cross-checking, she said, "I don't know what kid you're talking about." So for me, that was a full karmic cycle that was completed. And I have goosebumps as I share this even today. That was just a pristine moment.
It sounds like it. What are some of the markers or characteristics of these experiences where you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're not making it up, you're not imagining it, and it's not a dream?
Well, the first one is a dream does seem random and weird. And in a past life dream, there's no component of it that seems unexplainable or superficial. So for example, you're not going to be flying off the top of your roof and then landing on the next roof. For example, if you're having like, I don't know, a chase. But if this was a past life, you might see that you were a spy and then you jumped from one roof to the other. There will be very tangible aspects of it. I haven't myself gone into parallel lives or like other galaxies and realms of past lives. So I don't know and I can't speak to that part. But from a human past life experience, what I can tell you is that it will seem very tangible versus the weird elements of a dream. The second is a past life dream is less likely to be forgotten. The essence of it will stay with you. Whereas a dream, 99% of them we forget anyway. And typically, even if you have recollection over a couple of days, that dream will completely dissolve into your subconscious. So those are two huge factors for me. The third is that I've noticed that dreams come with their whole abstract deeper meaning for you. Whereas when you see a past life, it comes with a very specific message. You'll see it resonating with your current life and there will be guidance there. So there's no vagueness to it either.
Is it sometimes like watching a movie?
With past lives, whether it's in a dream or in hypnosis state, everyone has a different experience. So I've had people who just get an image and they will tell me what that is. They won't see it as a full scene being played out, but just glimpses, little images that come up. For some, they are so disassociated from the experience, they might only get sensations. Like it feels like I'm hot or it feels like I'm cold. Some people are very vivid. They will land into that moment in that past life and be like, "I am this person and I am doing this and I am here and I can see this and I can touch this." So it varies.
Have you had experiences yourself or perhaps that of your clients where they were called a past life where they were a different sex?
Oh, yeah. Hundreds of times. Right. Even for myself, most of my past lives, I've been a man.
Okay. I think it's interesting when a woman, for instance, recalls an experience being a big, burly blacksmith in Russia in the 1700s. Obviously, that's not her memory. That's actually a real example, by the way. Since you brought it up with your heritage, your culture, do you think people that are brought up in that type of culture where reincarnation is almost accepted as fact, are they more prone to experience past lives and other related phenomena, or is that not necessarily true?
That's an interesting question, and it would require a bigger data set of people for me to make that analysis, because I've worked with clients from all sides of the world. Everyone that's worked with me does come in with the belief that they have past lives. They don't come in to challenge it, but I've not noted that it's better or worse for either or having that cultural notion before them or not. What I do sense is, because you've beautifully quoted, we're 5,000 years ahead with that knowledge.
I had to say that. I've felt that way since I was like 8 or maybe 9, but yeah, it's true.
And it's like you just remove that layer of hesitation and it just allows you to receive whatever is available to you. I would just assume that it makes it more helpful to heal.
The reason I bring that up is when I think about past lives research, I think of Ian Stevenson from the University of Virginia. And what he did is he found children in cultures like yours, and they were actually able to remember past lives without being put under hypnosis. That's where I thought maybe they had some kind of predisposition. Also, I've had other practitioners tell me that anyone could have a past life experience, whether it's spontaneous or a recall or under hypnosis. One of my favorite questions, and this is just a curiosity thing, what is the farthest back in time you or perhaps one of your patients can remember or recall?
The thing with me is I rarely go into timelining, and I'll share why, and then I want to answer your question as well. When I had my first hypnosis session with my healer, he got into the details of one of my lives as a spy. And he started writing down things like, what was your name? What was the year? And then he did fact checks, which were not correct. And for me, that almost dismissed my experience and made me more hesitant. A similar experience happened with a different healer, where it was something along the lines of using an iron press, and then her quoting something like, well, it wasn't even there in that time. Are you sure that that's the time you're in? For me, timelining took me away from my experience, and which is why it's important. The purpose of a past life isn't to be accurate factually and for us to narrow down. Like, I love what Ian Stevenson did, and he could validate that information.
I think there's about 1,500 cases, which is amazing, where that child could be introduced to the family, where in this case, the child has past life memories of one of the family members. And apparently the child, he or she knew private things, family secrets that could have otherwise never been known. And this is in the 60s and the 70s. It's not like they could just go on to Google and do the research, right?
Yeah, but I had to go through that whole phase. And you can imagine when you're exploring past lives and you have these little blocks, it makes you almost want to question the whole experience. What I understand is the brain works with the vocabulary it has. So the vocabulary I had may not be the accurate representation of what actually happened to me, but it is enough information for me to heal and take away whatever I need from it.
That's something I hear a lot from practitioners. It's not really about exploring the past lives as much as it is trying to solve a problem, whether it occurred last week or 2,000 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah. But then to answer to your question, I've seen myself like 300, 400 years ago being a bully and mayhem across the village. And that was so far from who I am today.
Oh, I don't know. You look like you might be a casual bully. I don't know. Interesting, though. All right. And many of your past lives were as men.
Many of them have been as men, yes.
Well, what have you observed when someone reports back, let's say a man recalls a past life where he was a woman? Were they embarrassed or did they think, oh, wow, that was really cool? I've never seen anything like that.
The interesting thing about the state of hypnosis is that information is just experienced. So there's this sense of knowing that you drop into. And in the moment, yes, the cognitive mind might question a few things, but the power of past life is so strong, you don't really question it. You're just there experiencing it. I've never had a person go through that and be like, that's gross or that's weird. It might be surprising, but when they're actually in that state, they're like, yeah, I was a man and I did the thing, and it's just factual.
Okay.
But I want to speak to this as well. The soul has no gender.
Soul has no gender. I like that. And it's not the first time I've heard it either. Does that have some kind of relationship to light beings, which seem to be genderless? Are they the same thing? What are your thoughts?
I don't have direct experience, but what I've learned from Dr. Michael Newton's work, and he's another pioneer in afterlife regression, and you must be familiar too. He basically talks about this concept that our guides or our ancestors or even our spirit animals will come in the form that we recognize them and that we most comfortably connect with them as. So even when I do past life or afterlife regression with a client, they may find that they meet their mom when she was healthy, if their mom had passed away from a critical illness.
Very good point. When that does happen, is it the type of thing where if they experience someone from the family or friend that had passed on, do they tend to be in their prime, maybe a little bit younger than they were when they passed, or is that not part of the experience?
That's really interesting. And I've actually never gone into that much depth with it. I would love to know that too, because that's not the exploration I do at the time. I try to figure out what there is, why this person has shown up for them, how are they here to support their past life journey and things like that. But that would be interesting to know, actually.
It is. And many people that have near-death experiences and they see their friends or family that have passed on, they tend to be like around 30 years old. They're in their prime. They're healthier than they were if they were in a very unhealthy state when they passed. And I'm wondering if there's some kind of parallel between that type of contact and the type of contact that someone can have during a past life regression or a past life recall. I've heard that a lot, which is kind of cool because when people start to think, oh, when I pass on, I'm going to see my mom and my dad, and they're not going to be whatever age they were and they passed, they're going to be in their prime.
The soul has no age either.
Oh, okay. I like that. The soul is ageless and without gender. Okay. Well, that would make sense because we're supposed to be eternal beings anyway, right?
Mm-hmm. So there's no biological impact on the soul. It's just the reflection of what we're perceiving.
Okay. You mentioned spirit guides a few times now. So I've been told that everyone has them, whether they know it or not. What has been your experience with spirit guides, either in or outside your practice?
I've had the experience of seeing little orbs and freaking out and being like, I don't want this kind of contact from you. Please go away. I've experienced seeking for guidance in my head and feeling like, okay, someone gave me the advice, ask them who it is when you get the guidance. And I'd be like, oh, this is Archangel Michael, or this is Raphael, or this is your ancestor, your grandpa, almost feeling like I'm going crazy, hearing all these voices in my head. So I've had very direct, almost too invasive for me personally kind of experiences, and then having to create a connection with them that feels safe for my body and for my journey. So that's looked like just knowing that they're there, acknowledging them for their support. And then when I need it, I just ask them for a sign, or I will sit in meditation and invite them to be there with me then.
I like that. You invite them to your meditation. So many of us who are trying to do that, meditating and asking for spirit guides to identify themselves, or angels and archangels and light beings, and like nothing happens. Is it because we're missing it, or because we're just not open enough to receive? What do you suppose that is?
That's a great question. And it's almost true for all aspects of our spirituality, whether it's someone trying to activate their psychic senses, or they're trying to go into past lives and they can't, or they're trying to connect with a soul guide and they can't. There's multiple reasons at play that I've discovered so far. One is that if you do not have the nervous system capacity or the bodily orientation to hold that awareness, then they're going to need to find another time to connect with you, or a different way to connect with you. Because our tendency when we're in the spiritual realm is to disconnect from earth and we pop out of the body. So like we talk about the chakra system, and the root is what anchors us. Whereas when you're on your spiritual journey, people are usually focusing on their third eye and their crown and trying to activate the upper chakras. So when you're really, really anchored on earth, it becomes easier for you to hold awareness for what you're pulling in versus checking you out of your body. So that's one thing to consider. The second factor is that sometimes your journey doesn't require that connection. So maybe the lesson you're trying to learn, I've heard this somewhere at some point, where the person was so used to leaning on their guides in a previous lifetime, the guide said, this time we're not going to be there to handhold. You're going to have to go through this as if we're not there, even though that they are.
Interesting. And I've never heard that before, but it does make sense. I can't help but ask this because I've heard it more than once. In your experience, do you find that guides and perhaps even angels have a sense of humor?
I think there are all kinds of personalities that I've experienced. They're pretty much shaped by their karmic reality as well as ours. So if I have a comical nature, the likelihood of my guides all being comical is unlikely, but a lot of them have that compassion and that kindness and that humor and that wittiness and that attitude. Whereas I've seen guides that are cutthroat and they're just like, you got to do this. What are you doing? They're not abusive, but they're very, very firm. And sometimes those guides have showed up for me as well, which I found extremely challenging.
Really? Okay. I can't help but think of the many people that said, oh, they absolutely have a sense of humor. And sometimes they'll even play jokes on you. I was wondering if you could imagine guides kind of looking at us like stumbling through life thinking, geez, what is this idiot doing now? I don't know if you... I won't use any colorful language, but you can imagine what I'm thinking. What if guides actually cursed like truckers just because they thought it was funny and it was something that we actually had to experience? So let's go back to past life explorations and regressions for a moment. Why is it that it works for some people and it doesn't work for others?
Right. So we were speaking to the soul guides part, but like I said, it does connect to the past life part as well as one. Maybe your body is not feeling safe at the moment to access that. And this could be true for so many people. Think of within their current lifetime where they've got no recollection of their childhood. That disassociation that their nervous system has created is a safety mechanism because whatever happened was so big, their body couldn't metabolize it. And what it's done is it's blocked it off from memory. It's blocked it off from awareness. A similar thing could have happened for your past lives, which is why it may not be working for you. Or the guide is not correct. So if your guide, this is something I've experienced actually.
Guides can be wrong?
The facilitator, the past life regression facilitator.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
That's what I meant by the guide. So I've heard instances, I had one client who went into past life regression and she didn't heal anything. All she did is saw what it was. So she actually had to use our one-on-one coaching session to digest what she experienced. There was so much material there. The purpose of past life regression isn't for you to just go down memory lane and collect memories. It's to integrate that information. So if what you're about to discover is not in the right hands, that could be another reason why you're blocked.
So what does someone have to do in that instance where it's not working? Is that something that you can offer in your work, or is that maybe meant for like a shaman or something?
Shamans do such a brilliant job of holding that space. We have to appreciate the level of shadow that they uncover within themselves in order to hold that space. And I feel like as past life regression facilitators, we've been through our own dark spaces and we continue to do that work, which allows us to hold deeper and deeper spaces for our clients. If you're on the other end, you're the clientee or the coachee, and you can't make progress, you're not able to go deeper into that aspect of your journey, my invitation is either look for a different facilitator or drop it. Because it may, like I said, the second point is it may not be relevant to where your current journey is at. You may not need to know what happened in a past life in order to overcome this particular challenge that you're facing. I've had that happen with one client so far where she could not retrieve a past life with me. And I took her to the afterlife in order to at least connect with her soul guides and get guidance that way. So if they're a facilitator who's listening to this right now, that is my invitation, is at least help them feel connected to the spiritual realm.
So you can help connect your clients to the afterlife, the spiritual realm. Since you mentioned the spiritual realm, I've heard that term used to describe life between lives. You mentioned Michael Newton a few moments ago. What has your experience been with that space?
What I've noticed is that, and maybe this is because it's coming from my own first healer, it helps create a bridge between where you want to go. So if you were to just pop out of current lifetime and flip into a past, the bridge can sometimes be very daunting. It can create disconnect, various factors why you don't want to just jump into past life. So a typical facilitator might have you walk through a door or might have you climb down some stairs, and there's different techniques they follow. However, when you bring in the element of afterlife and you say, what guides are here to support you in this journey? They feel like there's a support system going into this. And when you want to pull the client out of that experience, because sometimes it's a painful past life, they are really connected to it. If you need help pulling that out, their guides are there. And we can really quickly build that sense of detachment from the past life. The guide will then able to look at it from a third person perspective and offer them the insight that was meant to be had originally from the past life. So my experience has been everyone so far that I've worked with, and I've worked with dozens of people just for past life regression, they have been able to connect with their soul guides or their ancestors or at least their spirit animals. Through that, it brings them a sense of knowing and a sense of support from the spiritual realm, that whether they get that from a past life regression or not independently, it's influential enough to change how they move towards the rest of their journey.
So that spiritual realm, can we assume that that is the same thing as a life between life space? Or is that perhaps another room in that space?
I think the spiritual realm is pretty much everything that there is. It's all of existence, all of duality. And the space of the afterlife is a very sacred, almost, I would connotate it to the Akashic Records, but it's basically what your existence has entailed for you. And it can be meshed with other people of your soul family. So like your current dad could have been your brother in a past life, and that is encompassed into the afterlife. Whereas there's so many other realms or so many other dimensions, and I'm just tapping into that space, so I don't have enough knowledge there yet. But I feel like spiritual realm is everything that there is. It's all of existence.
It brings to mind a relatively well-known quote. In my father's house are many mansions. Many Mansions was a book about Edgar Cayce and the story of reincarnation. And Edgar Cayce, as you probably know, read the Bible every year of his life. And when I think of the many mansions, I think of all the different spaces, what some people might even call the bardo. Some people might call it the healing space. But you also mentioned seeing a life review a few moments ago and soul families and things like that. Have you actually seen that yourself, or was that your clients, or is it a little bit of both?
My own life reviews happened, thankfully, because of the really good healers I had, but it wasn't done in the way that I do it for my clients. So I've naturally tailored that method where it really feels like a sacred space is created between their guides, where they just focus on the review and just focus on the integration. So I would say it's a little bit of both.
Okay. What is it like? I had one gentleman tell me that the life review was very humbling. And he kept telling me I had a lot of power in one of my positions. I think he worked for the California Highway Patrol. And he had two near-death experiences, and one where he was out for 45 minutes. And seems to be a very decent guy, but he said, you know what? When my time finally comes, I'm not looking forward to it. So it sounds like it could be a little scary.
That's a really good point. And maybe this is why some people aren't able to experience past lives, or when they do, it startles them more than helps them, is when we live a very different idea of life in the human. We are really far away from the truth of what life actually means, and life, like the whole idea of death. There is continuation, and that's what past life regression can teach someone, but it can also startle someone if they've had horrible deaths every single time.
It seems to me that it's a foregone conclusion that consciousness survives, right? We don't just go on the ground and that's it. That's the end of the road. We keep coming back, but on the other hand, we're responsible for our actions. So it's not like you can just be a horrible person and then go into the in-between space and not think anything of it and keep doing the same thing. Or am I off base here? You tell me.
The idea of karma is so complicated and so complex, and that's why I love it so much, because I want my logical head to wrap all the concepts around, and I feel like I understand 1% of it, but that 1% has been super helpful. So the idea of karma is not that karma is a bad guy and it's always coming to get after you, but it's also the good stuff. So the moments where you do right things happen to you as well. The way you show up in your life, if that is with integrity and honesty and compassion, you are bound to create a life that reflects that. Sure, the people that come into the life may not always have the same values, but if you maintain that and you're coming from a place of just, that's who I am and I'm not going to change that, then you don't create further karmic debt with these people. Whereas if the people that are coming into your life challenge your own integrity, then that's your karma to clear. It's not on them that they triggered that.
So in other words, when you step off that karmic wheel that just goes around and around, instead of going back and forth, you finally say, okay, that happened. That moment's gone now. I'm going to move on. And that's usually the smarter thing to do, as I'm told that forgiveness is one of the most important things we can ever learn. I think at least one guest told me that forgive everything, no matter how bad the slight is or how horrible it is. That is one of your keys to enlightenment. Would you agree?
I don't disagree, but there's a big asterisk to that for me, because what I've experienced is the only way people such as activists and leaders and thought reformers can operate is if they understand that there was injustice. And of course, you can forgive the doer, but you can't forgive the action, because the action is incorrect no matter what happened.
That's a good point. I was talking about forgiving the doer or the perpetrator. I agree with you. I think karma is probably one of the most misunderstood things in the arena of spiritual topics and discussions and so on. So what else is really notable for you and your experience about the in-between space? Is that where the karmic debt comes up and how to resolve it? Or is that a different topic?
Karma is a part of the thread of our journey, right? You wouldn't be here if you didn't have anything to resolve. You would then just be pure consciousness. So when I look at afterlives, sometimes the lesson is very big and it's like a breakthrough. And sometimes it's just simple knowledge. Like, oh, you need to let go of this people pleasing because you've had this pattern for like multiple past lives. It's not just this one. Sometimes it's bigger, profound stuff. Like, oh, the reason you're feeling guilty about leaving your partner after divorce is because in that past life, your partner drowned and you couldn't save him. And that created that debt towards him. This is, by the way, a real client situation. That feels like a big breakthrough where it's like a perspective shift.
It reminds me of a ledger of debits and credits. Is that pretty much what you're getting at? Or?
Well, what I think I'm also saying is if you look at both scenarios, you might look at the breakthrough as the karma and this just little insight about people pleasing to be just a little insight, but they're both fundamentally karma. They're teaching you to learn the lesson at hand in order to get out of the cycle. Because until you don't understand people pleasing, there's going to be someone that comes up and takes advantage of your time or your resources. There's someone that has to teach you how to do better boundaries. So the idea is not to chase how big or small the insight is, but to just understand they're all coming from that space of helping you clear your path.
For example, in a past life regression, if I discover that the pain in my back is related to the fact that I got shot in the back with an arrow as an Indian. Once I've actually recalled it, that can actually help heal that wound spiritually and otherwise and help me move on and clear the debt.
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. So I would assume this. Let's say you take an example from your current lifetime and someone in third grade bumped into you while you were at the cafeteria and your food fell over. If you still hold on to that memory in your imprint, there's something about forgiveness or there's something about letting that go that needs to complete in the cycle. And that would therefore show up in any of your regressions, whether it's inner child or past life. But let's say the arrow shot that we're now talking about, if that created a sense of poor me, this happened to me, or anger towards the perpetrator, the victim, perpetrator, anger, if there's a charge, then it got stored in your, not DNA, it's deeper than that, but it got stored in your psyche, then you would resolve it through the past life. Otherwise, it won't even show up.
Past lives can heal certain things. In other words, pretty consistent from what I've heard. Anything else that we should know, at least for tonight?
I could answer 100 more questions. So you would have to keep asking these questions. These are all really good questions.
They are, but I think we're getting into some pretty deep layers here. We're probably going to be continued into a part two, Life Between Lives and the Soul Contracts and the Soul Families and all those fascinating things. Vasundhara, thanks so much for joining us tonight. Excellent, excellent info. In the meantime, how can our listeners find you online?
Thank you for having me here. I am My Spiritual Shenanigans wherever you look on the internet. I have a beautiful blog on the topics of karma, past life regression, and all the things. And then there's My Spiritual Shenanigans on all the social media.
I will put that link in the show notes in a transcript as well. You've been listening to Closer to Venus. I'm Johnny Burke. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing. You can also find more info on closertovenus.com. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.